Is it a big deal when a company splits its stock, as the Google people are doing? No. I'm David Brancaccio. Your first Native American tribes have reached a $590 million settlement with drug companies over addictive opioid painkillers that ravaged their communities and so many others. 500,000 Americans have died in this epidemic of overprescribed painkillers. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with details.
David, what we have now are the broad strokes of a settlement. Details still have to be hashed out. And nearly all of the tribes who are suing would have to agree to the final settlement. That's hundreds of tribes. So this isn't over yet. But what we do know is that Johnson & Johnson has agreed to pay $150 million over 2 years. And three drug distributors, AmerisourceBergen, McKesson, and Cardinal, would pay $440 million over 7 years. So together, that's $590 million. And any tribe in the U.S., whether they've sued or not, would be eligible to receive funds as long as they use the money to fight opioid addictions in their communities.
How's this settlement compare to others that we've been following?
Well, if you add it all up, as of now, drug companies are facing opioid-related liabilities totaling about $40 billion in settlements, penalties, and fines. These numbers can shift, but that's where we are now. The tribes represent an estimated 2 million people, so $500 million settlement goes to help that population. These same four companies that we mentioned have a settlement pending with states and other local governments as well. That totals $26 billion. That settlement would be national and could get wrapped up by the end of this month. And pharmacies are also in the middle of this. We saw a jury verdict in Ohio late last year against CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart. And then there's the Purdue settlement. It's still in negotiations. Purdue, of course, the bankrupt OxyContin maker. So the legal battles, David, are far from over.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you for that. Let's do some market numbers. I see Dow and NASDAQ futures are both up 0.8% now. The S&P future is up 0.7%. Meta, the company formerly known as Facebook, reports its quarterly results after today's closing bell. It's been a busy quarter amid antitrust and privacy probes of the whole industry. A whistleblower's accusations that Facebook knowingly amplifies hate speech, and the name change to Meta with a focus on building out a virtual universe for us to live in. With that comes a focus on virtual reality hardware. Lily Jamali has more.
What exactly is it that Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg is investing in so heavily?
The idea is that you're creating a world that is much more immersive.
Carolina Milanese, president and principal analyst at Creative Strategies, says among other things, the metaverse offers a whole new way to sell stuff.
Whether it is to be able to see a sofa or try a pair of shoes on without leaving our home, or anything like that, where you're blending the real world and the digital world.
Facebook, back when it still called itself that, bought VR headset maker Oculus 8 years ago and hadn't seen much payoff.
This market is taking way longer than everybody, analysts included, anticipated it would take to build.
But now, in the pandemic era, businesses see potential in the metaverse. The consultancy Accenture made headlines this fall by ordering 60,000 Oculus headsets to onboard and train new workers. Andy Challenger of the HR consulting firm Challenger, Gray & Christmas says there's new interest in remote workplaces.
Companies have started to really think about and explore how new technology around the metaverse could help build culture and build a place to exist outside of a traditional office.
And that means a lot of big tech companies are looking at ways to create that virtual space at work and elsewhere, says Wedbush Managing Director Dan Ives.
I think right now you're seeing a massive spending shift, almost an arms race going on between Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, and others on metaverse.
And the question is, which companies will be able to pivot into this new space with talent and technology that'll give them an edge? I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
Also, what's it mean when a company like Google's parent company, Alphabet, announces a stock split? Short answer is not much, next to nothing. It's akin to the time my friend's dad, Arthur, was so proud of the deal he got on canned Fiddleheads. Normal price, 20 cents a can, but with the deal, five for a dollar. Let me let that sink in. Now, when Alphabet divides its stock into smaller equal parts, it makes it cheaper for an investor to buy a set amount, say 10 of them or 100 of them. So maybe more will buy. On the day of the split, Alphabet will hand each investor 20 stocks for each one the investor has already. Among other things, this avoids the silliness of insurance conglomerate Berkshire Hathaway's Class A stock, each of which goes for $471,000. Try buying 10 of those. Google also just reported blockbuster profits for the last quarter from selling ads, and its stock is up 10% in pre-market trading now.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
A COVID vaccine for children aged 6 months to 4 years could be available starting at the end of this month. Now that Pfizer has applied for emergency authorization from regulators, this may have had a bigger impact had it come before Omicron began circulating so widely. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher has more.
Maggie Doherty in Kalispell, Montana, says the COVID shot for her 2-year-old daughter can't come soon enough.
So I'm chomping at the bit.
Like Doherty, 3 in 10 families will get their children under 5 vaccinated ASAP, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. And every time that pool of vaccinated people expands, so does economic activity, says Alicia Modestino, an economics and public affairs professor at Northeastern.
It's more likely that we will get on a plane, or we're more likely to sign up for extracurricular activities.
And Modestino says this will be a huge relief for many parents who have spent years now navigating tough decisions about the safety and well-being of their kids.
It's just taking the cognitive load off of those parents.
In Montana, Maggie Doherty is exhausted from Omicron disruptions.
Because I'm wondering if my kid can actually go to school this week, or one day this week, or half of the week.
When everyone in her family is fully vaccinated, she says she'll have a little more peace of mind. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.